Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. What is the greatest gift? The greatest gift is a gift that lasts. So many gifts we may receive, but if they don't last, if the benefit doesn't last, then after some time, everything forgotten. So many statues of so many people, once they were heroes, and later they throw green paint over the same statues. Once they were getting medals, and later, so many years later, they're identified as war criminals. So what is the greatest charity, the greatest welfare work? Not some temporary work in this world. It's also not so easy to try and do good. We give people, we give them our money, and we hope they'll do something good. But how do we know that it's not misused? And what if it is misused? What if we give money to someone and it is not used for a good thing? Then what will happen? Then, A, that person who received the charity becomes degraded by it. And second, we ourselves also are getting implicated in the karma. What if I give my organs to someone? I don't know. What will that person do with those organs? Maybe that person will live a sinful life, and I supported it because I gave my organs. So it's by my donation that this person now is able to do these sinful things. How complex it is to give in charity, to do good. Good intention may be there, but good intention is not enough. It has to be really beneficial. Therefore, that which is eternal, that which is lasting, that which is re-establishing our eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, that is real charity. That is charity that will benefit us. And that charity, it says, Etavas chanmasafaryam deinam ihadehisu pranirakta diyavacha shreyam acharana sada. Which means that if we want to make this human form of life successful, then we must engage with all our energy, with all our possessions, with our intelligence, and with our words in that eternal benefit. Then our life will be successful. So, in this way we are thinking. And devotees, they're charitable. They will give for Janmashtami. They'll give for Rath Yatra. They'll give. But that is not all. The greatest charity is when we give ourselves, when we fully dedicate our whole self. That is real charity. Therefore, a Vaishnava, it is not what the Vaishnava is giving in terms of possessions, but a Vaishnava is giving himself. Himself in the service of Krishna. Himself for the benefit of mankind. That we see in Srila Prabhupada. That's his example, his selflessness, his efforts beyond physical limitation. Somehow or other, at an advanced age, after heart attacks and so on, continuing to push on, cutting on his sleeping, and in the night, translating in the day, endless busy meeting people, endless speaking engagements, in so many ways, pushing on this movement. That is obviously the true meaning of charity, what Prabhupada did. That's what you can call charity. By any means possible, to benedict the world and to give them the best. And without any reservation, without any self-interest, and so on. That is the most charitable person. Therefore, undoubtedly, we see that Srila Prabhupada is the most charitable person, and his life is the true meaning of charity. Whatever we do is somehow or other inspired by him, and whatever we do is still less than what he did alone. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita there is a description how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before Ratha Yatra, engaged all the devotees in cleansing the Gundicha temple. Because in Jagannath Puri, the deities, they are going by chariot to the Gundicha temple. And there they stay for 1 week, and then after that they go back again on the chariot. So, Lord Chaitanya, along with his devotees, before Lord Jagannath was reaching, he made arrangement to cleanse the temple. And as Lord Chaitanya was sweeping up dirt or dust from the temple, he was at the same time encouraging devotees to do the same. But Lord Chaitanya swept up more single-handedly than all the others did collectively. So in this way, we can also look at Prabhupada. That Prabhupada did more in terms of spreading Krishna consciousness single-handedly than all of us have done collectively. All his followers collectively could still not do what he did. Could not inspire people to the point that he could. Because real charity means you are giving. You must give. But first, what do you have to give? Yes, I begin to explain. We must not just give our money, we must give ourselves. We must fully dedicate ourselves. But even then, how far does that go? And it is that dedication that we have that can inspire the change. The more a person is himself dedicated in surrender to Krishna, the more potency the words of that devotee have. Of course, Prabhupada also mentioned that we can simply repeat. He says, like a child. A child, he may not have so much experience, and he may have never tasted a coconut. But his father has told him what coconut is like, so he repeats what his father says, and it's correct. Although he doesn't have personal experience of coconut, but he repeats what he has heard, so he can give a description of what a coconut is like, but he cannot go very deep in that description. He can say it's like it has some juice inside, it has some whitish flesh inside, and so on. And it's sort of a sweet taste, but what it tastes like, he cannot explain in detail. Whereas one who has tasted many coconuts, he can say many things. There are different tastes. Some are sweet, some are a little salty. Sometimes the inside flesh is creamy, sometimes it's more hard. One can say these things when one has tasted. In the same way, when one has actually experienced love for Krishna, then one can transmit that love for Krishna. But love for Krishna is not a small thing. We may have faith in Krishna, But that's not the same as love for Krishna. Faith in Krishna means, yes, we accept He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, we accept that the Bhagavad Gita is true. Yes, we accept that Krishna, simply by hearing about Him, that we can become uplifted. That's all faith. But love is something else. When Prabhupada is speaking about Krishna, Prabhupada is saying, he's telling about the cowherd boys, and how the cowherd boys are coming home and are explaining to their mothers what they experienced during the day. And they say, "Oh mother, today Krishna, he killed this big demon. It's enormous. But somehow or other, it was amazing what Krishna did." And when Prabhupada begins to speak about Krishna, and we just hear the love in his voice, he's not distant, he's very close, he's very much present when he speaks about Krishna and his pastimes in Vrindavan. It's not something he has read or something he has heard, but rather it is where he is, where his heart is. So, therefore, the real meaning of charity is not only an intellectual adjustment. It's not only about that we understand that we should give charity for an eternal purpose. That's an intellectual adjustment. But when we actually understand that we have to transform, and that the more we transform ourselves, and the more Krishna really becomes the priority for us, the more Krishna really becomes most dear to us, then we can give in charity. Then we can not only give transcendental knowledge, but we can even give transcendental love. Right? Transcendental knowledge, in a sense, is like the seed of Krishna Prema. But when that seed fructifies, then it's something else. Because then happiness is just emanating. And Prabhupada was effulgent and just beaming. His Krishna consciousness was certainly based on philosophy. Prabhupada showed that there was no difference between internal realization and the words of the Bhagavad Gita. But then we also learn dharmasya-tattva-nihitam-guhayam, that the real meaning of the scriptures remains hidden in the heart of the pure devotee. There was the poet William Blake, who was speaking about reading the Bible. He said, "Both of us are reading the Bible." He said, "But you are reading the black and I'm reading the white." Yeah? So, yes, that is a fact. There is so much more that is there that we cannot get from just on our own reading the Gita. It's not possible. In Vrindavan, in the days that I was there, first 6 years and then later 5 years as the temple president, was a mistake on the internet which perpetuates itself forever. Anyway, I can't get rid of it. I've tried. Somehow or other. So in those years in Vrindavan, especially in the earlier years, Vrindavan was a place where medical facility was more dangerous than the disease, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, anyone in his right mind would, you know, stay clear from a doctor. So we had our own dispensary, and in there we had a book which was from America, and it said, "Where there is no doctor." It was a very popular book. Everyone liked it, you know, lots of... It was well read, you could see it by the pages, you know. And yes, you could read it and you could think like, wow, you know, here are the symptoms of typhoid and I have those symptoms. Boy, I have typhoid. Then you read the next page, malaria, and they go like, geez, I have that too. A combination of all these diseases and so on. So it was really good. It was very popular. And we realized that we had very complex combinations of diseases and so on. Because ultimately, along with the book, we just couldn't do it. We couldn't. So, therefore, the greatest charity in this world, the real charity, is the gift of the spiritual master. And that relationship with the spiritual master is not an ordinary relationship. Because that relationship is part of the system of parampara which Krishna has established. In the Bhagavad Gita, evam parampara praptam evam rajarsiyu vidu. So Krishna has instituted a system of disciplic succession. And transcendental knowledge in its pure form is delivered in this disciplic succession from guru to disciple. Then the disciple will take that knowledge to heart, and in this way he becomes transformed, and then in due course he becomes qualified to himself act as a transparent via media of that transcendental knowledge and give that knowledge with realization, and then he can act as a spiritual master after he's duly blessed by his own spiritual master. In this way, the disciplic succession continues. And we must connect to this disciplic succession because it is there where the real meaning of charity is found. Outside of the disciplic succession, full charity is not experienced. Full charity exists between guru and disciple. It is there where we get the full gift of not only transcendental knowledge, divyam jnanam, but also where we get the full realization. And with that full realization, additionally, we get mercy. And that mercy makes up for what we lack. When in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ananyas chintayantamam ye jana paribhasate te samijava yuktanam yuksem vahamyam. I carry what you lack and preserve what you have. In the same way, this applies to the spiritual master. The spiritual master is carrying what we lack by his prayer. And because he's fully potent, therefore his prayer is potent, the most potent. And therefore on the strength of his prayer, Krishna's attention will be drawn towards us. Otherwise, why would Krishna look in our direction? Because of the rounds that we are chanting? I don't know. I mean, oh my God. Yeah? Even if we hear ourselves chanting, we sometimes look in another direction. What to speak? I mean, that chanting that we are doing, is that meant to attract Krishna or chase him away? I'm not sure. Anyhow, Krishna is merciful. He may be attracted to an extent, undoubtedly. Because it is said that Krishna never fails to notice the smallest service rendered. But as soon as the spiritual master adds his prayer, at that time the real charity kicks in. At that time that powerful prayer attracts the mercy of Krishna. And that is the best thing we can ever receive. Therefore we should see that first of all, we must be recipients of charity. And then we can think about giving charity. First, we must connect. Then we can give. And the more we connect, the more we can give. And that's not only by formal initiation, but that is by dedicating one's life completely. So, okay, that's my introduction about charity. By now, maybe some questions are there on paper. If somebody has written something, I'll take it.
There's one in the meanwhile, we'll get the other sheets.
Okay, thank you.
Please explain how Karna was so charitable, knowing that if he gave up his armor, he would still be defeated. Yeah, that was charitable, undoubtedly. It was. And for that, he is great. And there are many other personalities in the Mahabharata who also were charitable. But yet, Karna was not charitable enough to surrender his life to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, this charity is charity which is not transcendental. It is charity then in the modes of material nature. So there is charity in the mode of goodness, charity in the mode of passion, and charity in the mode of ignorance. So charity in the mode of goodness is charity that is aimed to uplift people in general, and that is there for the benefit of others. But it is not containing full transcendental knowledge. Charity in the mode of passion is for self-aggrandizement, is to have the reputation of being the greatest and most charitable person in the world. And charity in the mode of ignorance is charity that doesn't bring any good to the person who receives it, nor brings any good to the one who gives. So, in the case of Karna gave because he had this reputation of being the most charitable. And Karna continued in that spirit of being the most charitable, and therefore his charity was in a mode of passion. And although it was great and so on, it is insignificant in comparison to transcendental charity, the charity of a pure Vaishnava. So that is really how we must look at Karna's example. Difficult reading. Charity accumulated sinful acts. Charity, will it remove our accumulated sinful acts committed in a previous birth and present lives? It is said that that to perform sacrifice, to give in charity, to perform austerity, these activities are performed even by saintly persons who become purified. But we must connect all these things with Krishna to really get lasting benefit. So be charitable, but give to Krishna. Give to Krishna. Pranirata Diyavata. Give our energy, give our possessions, our intelligence and our words to Krishna. Then, yes, sinful activities will be removed. If one's spiritual master leaves his body and goes back to the spiritual world, how does one know if the spiritual master is pleased with him? Well, it is true that once the spiritual master has departed, one is missing out on this direct communication. Then again, even when the spiritual master is present on the planet, there may also not be so much opportunity for direct communication, because we see that there are not so many spiritual masters in the world, and they have their hands full dealing with so many devotees that are coming in different places. So the essence is that we are dedicating ourselves to following the instruction of the spiritual master. When the spiritual master is present, then at that time we are both rendering service to the spiritual master, and we are also on the receiving end of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is very much giving lectures. He may give us direct instructions. He may show some extraordinary example. And like that, by what the spiritual master does and says, we receive so much inspiration. When the spiritual master has departed, we can, of course, look at the mine of his activities and again go over these activities, because the depth of these activities is unlimited, so we can get more and more from that. But once the spiritual master has departed, our relationship with the spiritual master is especially one of service. It is there where we really connect. So, and one always, and one dedicates himself to the service of the spiritual master, and one always will feel that I should do more, I should do better, I could do more, I could do better. One always feels I'm falling short, I should do more in the service of my spiritual master. And in this way, one continues, sometimes by the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, some inspiration may come. Sometimes we may be in an assembly of Vaishnavas who are remembering Prabhupada. And it's just amazing, just like when I was in Vrindavan last Kartik, there was the Samadhi installation of Brahmananda Prabhu. And it was something. It was really something. It was not a huge, huge function, but the people that had come, everybody who came, had really done something substantial for Prabhupada. Right? You know, Guru Kripa was there. What can you say? Guru Kripa, when Prabhupada wanted to build a temple in Vrindavan, Guru Kripa said, Prabhupada, don't worry. Don't worry about the money. I will arrange for it. And he did. He did. And he didn't have the money. He had to collect it. And in those days, it wasn't so easy, because now you go around and you say Hare Krishna, and people say, oh, Hare Krishna, yes, very nice. Yes, how can we help you, Hare Krishna? And they'll give some donation to Hare Krishna. But in those days, you know, Hare Krishna, they see you coming. Right? You know what I mean? So it wasn't so easy. But still, he collected it. He collected everything. Guru Kripa was there. Indrajumna Maharaj was there. Malati was there. So many devotees were there who had all done so much service for Srila Prabhupada, who really had been part of the pioneering days. And then, and all of these devotees were appreciating what Brahmananda had done for Prabhupada, and how he was the first leader in ISKCON. How in the beginning, before there was a GBC, before anything, there was one leader, and that was Brahmananda. And Prabhupada would turn to him. And what he did not do for Prabhupada, he was ready to do anything, and all these devotees were just marveling, right, of what he did for Prabhupada. And oh, being there at that time, it was just something where we all felt, gosh, I really have to do something for Prabhupada now. So this is how in separation one can just feel very close and very much enlightened and very close in service. That is our growth. Why did we leave the spiritual world? We wanted a change of scenery. It is said that curiosity kills the cat. Have you heard of it? So when the infinitesimally small living entity in the spiritual world one day is contemplating the possibility that he could rather be master than servant, then he stops his service for a moment, and then he is in a tatastha state, in a marginal state. And the tata means on the edge. Tata means edge. Then he's on the edge of both the spiritual and the material world. He's in the tatastha. From the tatastha, one can choose to return and serve Krishna, or from the tatastha, one can pursue his curiosity and then try it out. And then we come in the material world and to enjoy, and we start our competition with Krishna. And Ichchadvesa Samuttena Dvandvamehena Bharata, all living beings are covered by the delusion of desire and hate. And then material life has begun. But the question is complicated to understand, and the question is not important. More important, Srila Prabhupada said, is the question, how to get out of here? How to get out of this material world? What should we do when duty conflicts with charity? You see, Srila Prabhupada explains that when we take up Krishna consciousness, that at that point, there is one center, and that center is Krishna and Krishna's interest. A Vaishnava has no other interest than the interest of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said, when there's one central point, then it's like throwing a stone into the water, and there will be rings, like the wave pattern will be in rings, but not one ring will conflict with the other, because there is a proper center. But when there are two centers, then waves will conflict. So when charity, what was it? When duty and charity conflicts, it means that Krishna is not in the center. If Krishna is completely in the center, then duty and charity will never conflict. Never. Because then there's only one point, Krishna in the center. And that's how it should be in every situation. You cannot say, yes, there is my marriage and there is my Krishna consciousness. No, it's not. You cannot say there are two things. It's one. It's all one. There's my money and, you know, and my life, and then there's my Krishna consciousness. It's all one. It's all centering around Krishna, and everything is just connected with Krishna. So no conflict between duty and charity. What charity to give, that we will see. Sometimes we may give things. Sometimes we may give time. Sometimes we may give energy. But the essence is every moment. Every moment we're always busy in service of Krishna. Everywhere. Whether we are at home looking after our children, we're giving them Krishna's mercy. Our whole thing for bringing up these children is not to make them round and fat. Somehow or other, mothers are always saying, you're not eating anything. It's like, mothers like people to be fat. That's clear, you know. You have just eaten and they still want you to eat more. So there is a thing, there is some pleasure in making people fat. But that's not the aim of bringing up children. The aim of bringing up children is to somehow or another connect them with the mercy, with Krishna's mercy. That is our, and in that way, there's no conflict. Whatever we do, whether we are caught up in family life, or whether we are knocking on doors and trying to sell Bhagavad Gita, it doesn't matter. It's always the same. Krishna is always in the center at all times. So never is there a conflict between duty and charity when Krishna is in the center. So if there's more questions, I mean, they have to come, because this is the last one. If we give charity and it's not used properly to, I can't read it, or something to a drunkard, will we incur karmic reaction? I missed a few words, but I guess we get it. Yes, of course. You know, therefore charity should not be given to drunkards. Charity should be given to Krishna or Krishna's representative. Now, if you give charity to Krishna's representative, and afterwards, Krishna's representative takes whatever money, if we talk money now, and misuses that money, then that doesn't matter for us. We've given to Krishna. We've given to Krishna, and we get the benefit of giving to Krishna. And then if the person who received it on Krishna's behalf misused it, he will get the reactions for that. So giving to Krishna or Krishna's devotees, one cannot lose. You cannot lose. Cannot be that now this devotee misused my money. Oh, I lost all my benefit. No. No. Anyway, giving money is the easy thing, right? It's sort of it's the charity you give when you want to get rid of somebody. Here, take some money and now go. Go away. Yes, yes. What do you want? I want some charity. Okay. What for? Krishna. Okay. Okay. I'll give some here. Take this and get out of here. And leave me alone in my life. Let me continue to do whatever I'm doing. I've given you some money now. So, finished. No. I don't want your money. I want you. And then, yes, and when I have you, then everything you own is mine anyway. Right? So that's it. You know, we want you. We are not a movement after money. Money will come, but we want you. And if you give money to bribe us, like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, you cannot bribe the spiritual master. You have to actually be a pure devotee. You have to really do it, seriously. You have to give your life. That's it. And it's like, it's not so much, oh, but I never see my spiritual master. Oh, I miss him so much. Oh, it's been so long since I got a mail. Oh, or whatever. All that has nothing to do with it. It's what are you doing to be a pure devotee? What are we doing to be pure devotees? That's really what it is. Nothing else. That's the cutting edge. And that's what counts. So, in this way, we are not... too worried. We should give our life. We should give our life. And then with that, everything, you know, give as much money as we can, make more, give that as well, right? And then, you know, do voluntary service on top of it, right? And, you know, somehow or other survive, you know what I mean? Yourself, yes, you know, life goes on. I guess the younger brother can wear some of the clothes of the elder one, and in this way we can give. And whatever it is, when it's for Krishna, how can we say no? If for Krishna they ask, how can we say no?
Yeah, but we don't have it. Well, we have it, but you know,
I remember 1 year I came to Scotland, you know. And in Scotland, there was Balabhadra, who later became Puri Maharaj, whatever. But he was so generous. And I came to ask a donation for Vrindavan. And he says, so I talked to him, I asked him, I made my presentation. And he says, oh, we'll discuss it tomorrow in the council. So I said, oh my God, you know, tomorrow in the, that's a brush off. Right? It's a brush off, you know, in the council, and then tomorrow you get an answer. Well, the council had a meeting and they're very sorry, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, they voted against it and we're so sorry. So I already saw it's not going anywhere. And usually, but he said, but you can come in and make a presentation to the council. Usually they let you come into the council, they let you make a 5-minute presentation, then they ask you to leave, and then when you're out, they discuss your proposal. Right? So I was sort of ready for them, you know, to ask me to leave, but they didn't. They said, no, no, you stay here. And then he said, so, it's a good thing, isn't it? It's for Vrindavan. He said, so, we must give. And what I think is, we should just, instead of giving all the money to the taxman, we should just give all that money to Vrindavan. And that's what they did. They asked for 3 more months, you know, to the taxman, you know, which is putting yourself under real pressure, gave me all the money that they had for the taxman. It was a lot. I mean, you know. And then he drove me off. I had come by bus, so he drove me. He was going to take me to the bus. And then I go like, is this the right way to the bus station? He goes, yes, 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 this is the right way. And then he took me to the airport and put me on a plane. What can I say, you know? Such a charitable spirit. That will never be forgotten. Krishna will never forget. Krishna will see that he gave, that they gave everything, not only him, but all those devotees. They took a risk. They just, you know, went into the red with the taxman. That's not so easy. Then you really have to pay after that, you know. You're in big trouble. So they took that trouble. That spirit of charity, that exists amongst devotees. And that is the charity we must have in our movement. We must have a movement. As a movement, I must say that sometimes the Hare Krishna movement lags a bit behind in terms of its social infrastructure. If you look at other traditions in the world, Muslims, they have one good quality. They stick together. And they really help each other. Yeah, and somehow or other. Yeah, they really do. We, well, you know, it's God for us all and each man for himself. Kind of thing. Right? I mean, that's something we can think about. Yeah, we could definitely, we could learn from the neighbors. We could learn from others and do more in this respect, in this regard. And not just sometimes in India, you see people coming in temples and they go before the deity and slap their cheeks and pull their ears and bend their knees and call out, hey, Bhagavan! But where are we collectively? Where are we collectively? So to serve the devotees, that is the essence of all charity. Beyond serving the spiritual master, which is the first and foremost duty, the second one is to serve all the devotees. And by doing so, we are serving Krishna. And by doing so, we are ready to sacrifice. So this spirit is truly what is needed. Any other question? 5 minutes left.
Yes. S'il vous plaît. What is your name again? I forgot.
My name is Balnitaidas.
Balnitaidas from Congo.
Yes, Kinshasa.
Kinshasa.
Brazzaville.
Oh, Brazzaville. He is a very enthusiastic book distributor.
No, I'm a doorkeeper. No. For global mission.
Very interesting.
Excuse me, madam.
Yes.
Just say, pass to my mind for all devotees, dedicated devotees. And very nice question, the conflictuality among duty and charity. So you just give us a kind of enlightenment. I just put myself as a big boss of a big factory, as a devotee. And I have worker under me. As a devotee, what kind of charity can I do for those people so Prabhupada can be pleased and that we not have conflictuality with my duty in my factory? In other words, how those who are involved in Ugra Karma, this is today technology, those who give money, paper, each and everything as charities. So,
yeah, well,
thank you.
Arish.
Yes. If I'm a factory owner and my factory is producing just material products, that's my business. But somehow or other, I become a devotee as well. Then I should do something to give Krishna consciousness to those who work in the factory. Either give them a book, or give them prasad, or something. Involve them in a Rata Yatra in some ways. Look in ways to influence them without forcing them. You cannot force people to become Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is operating on awakening desire in people. It's not operating on forcing people to be Krishna conscious. That's other traditions that are forceful. But our tradition is about awakening desire. So somehow or other, let us do things that can awaken desire. Just like Prabhupada's books can awaken desire. Just like this Rata Yatra can awaken desire in the hearts of so many. So if you're a factory owner, invite us to have a Rata Yatra in your place. So next time you meet a factory owner, you ask him to take a book, can be small, whatever, or big, for every worker in the factory. You hit him up for that. Start with the Bhagavad Gita for every worker in the factory. We'll bring the truck over, no problem. And after that, we can have a Rata Yatra in the area of the factory. And he can come and preside over it. And all the factory workers can get a day of paid leave on the day of Rata Yatra. Like that. We have many programs for factory owners. No problem at all. I have many other ideas also. Okay. So, I've used up my time. Thank you very much. And hope to see you again later this evening.